Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. If life were a bed of roses, we'd never appreciate how good roses smell. The desert gave Moses that appreciation. Many of us are now in the desert, learning lessons for a day yet to come when we'll understand why we needed to learn them. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're learning what to do when life is hard. Now, more from Exodus chapters 2 and 3, and some poignant insights for all of us.
God is with us. He is there, He is seeing, He is hearing, He is answering. God is with us in hard times. I love that story in Genesis chapter 39. Genesis 39, regarding Joseph, it says, "And the Lord was with Joseph and gave him favor in Potiphar's house." Then you know the story of how Joseph was falsely accused and thrown into a dungeon. And you know what it says? Same chapter. It says, "And the Lord was with Joseph in prison and showed him steadfast love and gave him favor in the eyes of the jailer." Wow. God is with us in our promotions when everything is going well, when the sea is parting and the rivers are flowing. God is with us in our promotions. God is also with us in our demotions. When we are unjustly let go, when accusations against us are false that we cannot correct, it is then that God is also with us. God is with us in hard times. You remember that story about a man who had a dream about all these people were lined up, and Jesus came along and said to this one, "I bless you, I bless you, I bless you." And when Jesus got to this man, Jesus stepped back and said, "You know, I'm not going to bless you, because I know you're going to love me and follow me whether I do or not." And then he went on to the next person. Do you feel that way? That you've been left out? Other people seem to be prospering, but life for you is hard, and it's one tragedy after another. Have you ever noticed that they often come in pairs? One thing happens, then another thing. God is with us in hard times. Secondly, very important, that in a hard time, God has you exactly where He wants you. Exactly where He wants you. You are today where God wants you. You say, "Well, no, that's not true, because where I am today is my fault." Well, Moses could have said the same thing. He could have said, "You know, it's my fault that I acted the way I did in relationship to killing the Egyptian. I should have been wiser. I am being judged because I'm in the desert because I blew it." All right, fair enough. But isn't it interesting that it's there in the desert that God has a way prepared for him? It is there in the desert, as a matter of fact, if you think that somehow Moses was, quote, out of God's will, if you take that point of view. Isn't it interesting that right there in the middle of where he shouldn't be, God has a wife prepared for him. And he marries and has some children. And right there, God has a new path, because the will of God has enough fluidity to take you where you are at and use your present circumstance for your good and for His glory. You are today where God wants you to be. Now, that doesn't mean that you shouldn't improve your situation. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be job hunting if that's what you need, or improving your lifestyle or your relationships. We understand that. But God today knows exactly where you are. He knows the longitude and the latitude of where you are sailing on the boat of life. And when a hard time comes, God is there. Look at these slaves that I'll comment on in the next message. Here they are with no ability to make their life better, and yet they call on God, and what is God doing? God is hearing, God is answering, God does this. If you miss everything I've said today, would you remember this? Don't ever interpret the silence of God as the indifference of God. Just because God is silent sometimes when we're in the desert, we cry up to Him and we see no answers. Don't ever interpret the silence of God as the indifference of God. God is there carrying, orchestrating, working, and who knows, the bush may burn tomorrow. He has these surprises in store that we can't see. Moses thought that the 40 years he had just lived was predictive of the next 40 years with the same monotony, the same boredom. Let me ask you a question. What have you picked up in the desert? What has God taught you in the desert? Did He teach you faith? Did He teach you patience with people? Did He teach you how you needed others when you were in the desert and now you are more generous and more giving and you've opened your life up to other people? Because it's God's intention that the desert touch our lives. In fact, that's the last lesson. The desert has a way, I think, of giving us a new touch with God. I think that God said to Himself regarding Moses and His desire to lead the children of Israel out and His willingness to identify with the people of God, and the Bible gives Him credit for doing that, especially in the book of Hebrews. I think that God probably said to Himself, the time isn't right, and furthermore, Moses isn't ready to be the leader. He has to be taught servanthood and humility. He has to be taught trust. He has to learn to obey even when it's inconvenient. The palace could never teach him that. Only hard life in the desert could do it. The desert is not really a penalty box, if I can put it that way. The desert is God getting you ready to get into a new game and preparing your heart for it. You'd never be where you are at today in your hard place if God did not intend to use it for His glory and for our good. It's hard for me to say because when life is hard, it's hard to see His purposes. But that's exactly what He's teaching us, is that He is there with us. I think probably the best example, actually, is Jesus Himself. In terms of life being hard, Jesus was evil spoken against. Jesus was forsaken by His friends. False accusations, 6 false trials, mock trials. And then Jesus, in the human side of it, was forsaken by God. So there He was, having a very, very hard, hard experience. And we see that in Gethsemane. And yet the Bible says that for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross and He despised the shame. And on the other side of the crucifixion, there was the resurrection. If you're here today and life is hard, let me ask you the question. If you are here today as a believer, what you are experiencing in this life is the worst you will ever experience because eternity and heaven is coming. If you're here today as an unbeliever and life is hard, this is the best it'll ever get. All of eternity is going to be far worse than what you're experiencing today. So for the Christian, there are no permanent tragedies. Your worst tragedy is temporal, and it's the worst it will ever get. If you're here as a non-Christian, this is the best it'll ever be, with all of its tragedies. It'll only get worse after you die, far worse. And the real issue is our relationship to Jesus Christ, who, when he went through what I just described, dying on the cross for our sins, shedding his blood for us, it is because of that that we can come to the Father to be forgiven, to be received, to be welcomed by God, and belong to him forever. Your eternal destiny depends on your relationship with Christ. So my question is to you, do you know him personally, having received him as your Savior, not your wife's Savior or somebody else's Savior, but yours? Would you join me as we pray? Our Father, we thank you today that Jesus was willing to go through his desert, that time was hard. We thank you. And that having gone through what he went through, that we as sinners can be reconciled to you, belonging to you forever. We pray, Father, for all who have heard this message, for those who are sick and in pain, for those, Lord, who are struggling with financial needs, who don't know where their rent is coming from, for those, Father, who are in relational tug of wars in their marriages and in their families. Father, we throw ourselves at your feet and we seek your help and believe that you are trying to teach us lessons that somehow smoothness cannot teach us. Lord, we pray that even as we remember your death today, it may be with the sure knowledge that because of Jesus, we are forgiven and life will get better. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we gather today and we'll prepare for the Lord's table. And this is Pastor Lutzer. And of course, here at the Moody Church, it is our privilege to have the Lord's table at least once a month, to be reminded of the fact that the sacrifice of Jesus is the sacrifice by which we are saved. And we love him. And as a result of that, we never want to forget all that he has done for us. Getting back to the story of Moses, what if Moses had died in the desert without the bush having burned? He could have still been faithful to the Lord in obscurity, because it is when we serve without anyone who praises us, without anyone who takes note of us, those kinds of sacrifices are especially acceptable to God. You're in a hard place today. You may indeed be in a hard place. I encourage you to see God there, to recognize that he is with you even when you don't sense his presence.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding Finding God in Your Desert, the first of two messages on what to do when life is hard. Next time, don't miss Finding God in a Tight Place. When Life is Hard is a brief series we're making available on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.